WPR Susanna Michaels is a writer, and she's kept a journal for years. And she joins us now to tell us how writing things down has changed her life.
Susanna, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So journaling, when did you start?
Well, I started, it turns out, when I was 13. Mm-hmm. I felt at that age that I should start recording the happenings of my times. And it turns out my first entry was about the assassination of John Lennon. That event sent me to a book that we'd purchased at a special sale at Bloomingdale's in New York. I had the empty book, and when that event happened, I was motivated to start writing.
Well, that event was overwhelming for a lot of people at the time. Do you feel like journaling and putting something in writing helped you process this big thing happening in the world?
Yeah. So at that time, I was 13, and I honestly, I don't know, I don't remember anymore these many years later about that specific event and if the journal helped me. I do know that the journal has helped me process a lot of events in the 33 years since that first entry.
How has journaling changed your life? It's helped you process things, but you've been doing it a long time. What have you gotten out of it?
I've really gotten a pleasure out of it. It's a time I enjoy. It's a time for myself. I've also gotten sort of a best friend out of it at times that I needed a best friend and didn't maybe have a person there if I was, like, moved to a new place or whatever. And I've gotten a lot of, mental stability out of it. By just putting it all out there on paper, I'm able, in the best case scenario, to move on.
And how do you do it? Do you have, like, a writer's discipline where I am going to write X amount of hours every week, or is it just when it feels like it's time?
Yeah, it's just when it feels like it's time. And sometimes it feels like it's time and I don't really have the time in my life. So it's really spotty, and I like it that way. I like that it's a place I go to at very specific times when I'm moved to go there. I do get antsy when I feel like I have a lot to say and don't have the time to go there. It's been really, sometimes it's been daily, sometimes very rarely. There's been a gap of months. In general, I'd say I go there now at this point in my life, I don't know, once a week, once every 2 weeks. It's really variable.
I was just the other day talking to an expert on stress who said, let me see if I get it right, talking, like just verbally talking out loud about an event is okay, but it doesn't really, I guess, process it. It doesn't put it out there. Writing it down, there's research that the actual physical act of writing something down and putting it on paper gives you the distance and maybe the release you need from it. Is this a stress release for you?
Absolutely. Although I would say that when I write, I maybe didn't know about that research. I've just been doing it anyway. But one thing I have noticed is that when I go back, when I'm really upset about something, say like an interpersonal problem with a family member or something, when I write that down, and when I sometimes go back to old diaries and read them, and when I see like, oh, that problem in retrospect is so trivial. And so that's where the healing happens, is when I read back and see, we've moved beyond that, or it wasn't that big a deal. And so then that helps me going forward, like, oh, maybe don't freak out about everything.
I was going to say, if you can look at those old things that probably dominated your mind for a while and have that perspective, and then that says today, maybe this thing I'm freaking out about now.
Absolutely.
But this is really interesting. I don't journal. I've never journaled, but it's really – that's an interesting perspective on
it. Yeah, that's maybe been the single biggest takeaway for like my current – stability in life or whatever, is that learning process that has happened through the journals.
Now, you sent us some pictures of your journals. I think we're going to put one on our Facebook page. It's a big stack. It's the Leaning Tower of Journals.
The Leaning Tower of Journals.
How many?
There are – I'm now writing in my 58th book.
58?
58 in 33 years.
Wow.
And they're really variable. I mean, one book – I mean, some of them are shorter than others. Some of them – I wrote really small and are really dense, or the lines were closer together. It's really variable, but it's 58 books.
And you've got this stack of books, and you've presumably been moving some of them around with you from place to place.
Luckily, I haven't moved in like the last 18 years, so that's handy because, maybe half of them have been written in the last 18 years, so I haven't had to lug those around. But they are maybe my single most precious possession. I can't imagine not moving them.
How often do you go back and read what you wrote X number of years ago?
Yeah, it's really sporadic. Not really that often. Sometimes I'll go back just in the current book I'm in. I did that the other day. I went back into the current book I'm writing in right now and read stuff that happened in January. And I was like shocked to like relearn stuff that I'd forgotten about already in that 6 months that had elapsed since then. And then other times I go back for a very specific reason. I've actually written a couple of memoirs about different times in my lives. And the journals were a goldmine for that material.
Now, you've been writing this for yourself mostly. You mentioned writing memoirs. How much do you share what you write in the journal, if at all?
Yeah, almost nothing. I share almost nothing. So much of it is junk and really embarrassing. So much of it. However, the reason that's okay, I don't mind, because it's all about the process, and it's for me. Occasionally, when I do go back and I find something that I find really interesting or funny, I will read it to my husband. Or last night, I read a little snippet to my granddaughter that I'd written about her.
And now, can you share? Are you willing to share some of it with us now? Preferably, like the most embarrassing thing. No, you've brought a couple
of
your journals.
It's all so embarrassing. I picked out the thing that I read to my granddaughter last night. She's now 12. I wrote this when she was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And all you have to know to understand this selection is that I keep my sewing supplies in our basement, and among those supplies is like a canister of buttons. So here's from my diary. Last night when dinner was ready, Mabian begged me to come down to the basement to look at the buttons. I love the buttons, she whined. Her face was this angelic expression of wanting. I knelt down and kissed her cheek and rubbed her chest. I know you love the buttons. I do too, but it's dinner time. And I would have forgotten that scene. Mm-hmm. I had forgotten that scene from 7 years ago until I read it the other day.
And how did your 12-year-old granddaughter react to hearing you read that memory from when she was 5?
Yeah, well, she's 12, so her reactions are a little guarded. But I definitely sensed that she was like, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And she might, as it did with me, it reminded me of how we love to go through the button collection. And I bet it triggered that same thing in her. And yeah, it was a sweet, sweet thing.
And that's something that she might come back to in 10 years if you share that story with her again and have a different reaction.
Right, right. Yeah, it's definitely like a little scene from her childhood that we both would have lost and that is like this pure sweetness, and we still have it because of the journal.
Now, speaking of kids, I think you mentioned that you had done maybe not journaling exercises, but writing exercises along these lines with kids.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah, it was sheer magic, and it wasn't something I really planned. My granddaughter, you know, I try to help her with school stuff a little bit. And when I heard the teacher say that she needed some writing help, I started doing these little exercises with her. And then when we went on vacation a week ago and there were other kids there, I decided to open it up to the group. And all it is you pick a topic, you take a couple minutes, you don't set any kind of time or anything, you write about it, you all write about it, you as the adult participate. And then you come to a consensus like, okay, we're done writing now. And then you read it out loud. And what happened was really magic.
And what ages?
There were 3 12-year-old girls and 1 15-year-old boy.
Now, these are not universally known as the most communicative of ages,
right,
of where they want to share with grown-ups.
Right.
This exercise,
it worked. And I think partly because we picked like really topics. The topics we picked were, we were at a cabin. So one topic was why I love the cabin. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, revealing too much about your inner secrets as a 12-year-old. Or another topic was where I want to live. You know, light topics, easy topics.
Do you feel like you learned something about them then based on those, starting with those light topics?
Yes, really learned a lot. And some of the moms were sitting by watching this happen. I was just realizing as it was happening that it was such a magical thing and I didn't want to break the spell. And so I didn't talk to the moms. I didn't look at them. I focused on the kids. And the moms afterwards said, oh, my gosh, I learned things about my kid that I didn't know before. Like one girl talked, one of the topics was what I like to do. And one girl talked about soccer. And she said, when I'm playing soccer, all my worries drop away, whatever the worries of a 12-year-old are, they drop away. And she's like, I'm so focusing on the game, I can't even hear people speaking to me.
Wow.
Yeah, really interesting. And the mom's like, I didn't know she felt that way about soccer.
That's great that it got that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not, as I mentioned, I don't journal. I never have. I'm thinking about it. Give me, a pep talk. How would I get started? What should I do to overcome my reluctance, my hesitation?
The first thing I think you should do is not stress out about it. Like, not feel like, oh my gosh, I'm making this commitment and now I'm like stuck with this commitment and it's become this, you know, weight on my shoulders. Like, give yourself the freedom to write something down and then not do it again for 2 months. So that's one thing, and that's the same with the kids. Like, remove any kind of stress. Remove any kind of you should, this, you need to, blah, blah, blah. Keep the long picture in mind of like, okay, I'm writing this now. I feel awkward and self-conscious. But you know what? When I go back to this a year later, that's going to be so interesting to see what I was thinking now.
I think I'm going to try it.
Try it.
I was going to say it's going to be a homework assignment, but that sounds exactly like the opposite of what you were just saying.
No, I think journaling is a little bit like knitting. Some people enjoy it and others don't. And the people who don't, I don't think you're going to convert them over to loving it. And so if you don't enjoy journaling, then don't do it. It's not for you. But if you do it, if you do enjoy it, that's awesome. And if you only sort of enjoy it, you will still get that benefit of like knowing like, okay, I've got this thing that's going to be really interesting to read in 10 years or whatever to see where I was at that time.
Susanna, thanks a lot for coming on the show today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Rob.
That was WPR Susanna Michaels talking about keeping a journal.
Do you keep a journal? What has it meant to you? Tell us about it on the Central Time Facebook page.